Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by NXT extraordinaire reviewer Laurie Blake. How are you, sir?
I'm all right, thank you. How is everyone else?
Yeah, I think we're all doing okay. How has your week been?
Yeah, it's been all right. I've been was here on Monday, as you remember.
I've been
mostly at home the last 2 days playing WWE 2K19, getting properly stuck in this time.
Getting well into it now, aren't
you? Yeah, I've been downloading other stuff for some edits I'm doing, so I've mostly been checking my computer and then going, oh, I could probably just do another match.
Last night, I finished work here and I was going back home because I had a guy coming around to, this is very boring house stuff, measuring up for some heating that we're going to get done in the house. Finally, I mean, because you were there for Christmas last year. That house was cold during the winter because we've been there for nearly 3 years now and have never had heating in it, and it gets pretty cold in this country sometimes. So we decided,
basically been living in a cave.
We're not doing another winter with no heating, and we're now nearing winter. We're like, we better get that heating sorted. So a guy came around yesterday to do some measuring up for us, and I thought to myself, oh, this is ace. I'm gonna go home, I'm gonna have a bit of time to actually play Fire Pro Wrestling.
Whoa.
Because I've had it now for 2 weeks and I've played it for approximately 2 minutes. Like, I've turned it on, I've looked at the menu and I've had to turn it off. So, like, I've not even touched it yet. And I'm annoyed at myself because I ordered it on Amazon to, like, get that, because I like a physical copy of something. And so I ordered it on Amazon.
Sweet box.
Love it, mate. Love a box. Love taking up space with things I don't need. And so I ordered the physical copy of it. And it was going to arrive on Friday, the day the game came out. And then on that Friday, I got home. It wasn't there. So I checked on my emails. And Amazon had said, there's a problem. It's not going to arrive now until the 15th of October, like, which was 2 weeks away.
Aww.
And I was like, oh, come on, lads. This is ridiculous. So I cancelled that order. And I was like, all right, balls to it. I'm going to go download it. Then I had the issue of trying to find, through the PS Store, a non-deluxe version of the game. Because they were only advertising, like, the super-duper deluxe edition nonsense, which was £75.
There are six more legs in this version.
I'm not spending 75 quid on this game. And I nearly got it on Amazon for 30.
20 more hats.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. That's ludicrous. And then eventually I went onto Twitter and I was like, can anyone help me find the game? I just want the game. I don't want the extra gubbins. I just want the game. And eventually someone said, you've got to go to this sub-menu here to find just the regular version of the game. So finally,
you find the game page and you scroll all the way down.
I had to go across and found a sub-menu. Anyway, I found it eventually. So I spent £45 on it instead, getting the... it was 40 quid. So I spent an extra tenner as opposed to getting it for 30 quid on the physical copy. And lo and behold, we're now past the 15th. I would have had the physical copy for £10 cheaper, and I still haven't bloody played it.
Yeah, and you've got Spider-Man on the go as well.
I know, right? Oh, so anyway.
Wastrel.
So I was like, I'm going to finally get home and play some Fire Pro Wrestling. What happened? Took me ages to get home. Got home, the lad basically arrived, and I was like, cool, right, here's it. Did the measuring up. And then my wife came home, and they were like, right, now I've got to sort out dinner. And then watch The Apprentice. So didn't get to play it again.
Gotta get a Switch. Hope it comes out on the Switch, and then get a Switch. Because then you can play it all the time.
Yeah.
Even while doing other things. You could be cooking and playing it.
Yeah, it's very true.
You could be talking to your man and playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to your wife and playing it.
Oh, I mean, the last one I'm not sure I could ever get away with.
When The Apprentice is on, surely that doesn't matter.
Well, no, because I'm the one who wants to watch The Apprentice.
You just, like, look over the top of it, it's fine.
I love The Apprentice.
There's not that much to take in on The Apprentice.
There's so much to take in. Oh, me and Ollie could talk about that for hours. We've got a nice email.
Dibs in suits doing stuff.
got a lovely email in from one of our pledge hammers, Jonathan, the headmaster headman, who sent us a very lovely message about us helping him survive his 70-hour work week. So thank you very much for sending that message. But he also sent us a WrestleTalk Get Better saying, "Hello, lads. I wanted to drop you a line, give you an update. I started a hashtag Get Better on August 12th at an unhealthy 390 pounds. Today I'm down to 367. Good start and many more to go. My goal is to get healthy enough to go on a mission trip to the Philippines in January. I love the podcast and YouTube. I end up listening to both all the way through." Now that is dedication.
That is dedication.
"Now for a wrestling question. Do you think WWE could pull off a double turn again? Who would you like to see that happen to? Right now, I'd like to see that happen with Ciampa and Gargano. I think they're already headed that way anyway. Keep up the consistent good work. Jonathan, the headmaster headman." I don't know if it is going to be a Gargano-Ciampa double turn. And we talk about this a little bit in the episode as to whether we think we're heading for a Gargano heel turn. But I don't see them turning Ciampa babyface off the back of that.
No, definitely not. It's such a waste. It's such a waste. He's barely got started as a heel, I feel like.
He's too good as a heel.
He's too good as a heel. And I think he's come into his own since he won the belt as well. And I think like he was obviously very good before. But now he's fantastic. So yeah. I think it would be such a terrible waste to turn him face.
I think really right now the best double turn that this company could do would be Becky and Charlotte. Like, and I mean, Ollie talked about this a little bit on the Wrestle Ramble Extra, which if you're one of our patron backers should be out on Friday. That's the aim, is we're going to get out on Friday. We talked a little bit about that of like with Austin when they were presenting him as a heel in 1997 before really realizing what it was they had. And I would like to see them kind of like, you know, the company get smart and just be like, oh, well, we don't actually have to change Becky's character. No. We just need to present Charlotte as the heel. And we can and this feud still makes sense. Yeah. Still,
Charlotte's the fact that she's a great heel.
She's an amazing heel. She's so much better as a heel. Yeah. She's so much more entertaining as a heel. So I think if I was to say a double turn, it would be Becky and Charlotte. And that's the way I would do it.
I want to see a double turn in AJ versus Daniel Bryan at Crown Jewel and they both go heel.
Oh.
Would that work? Can you do that? I don't know.
We've got a nice little wrestling confession from here from someone who would like to remain vacant for reasons that will perhaps come evident. "Hey, lads, I love all of the wrestling confessions on the podcast and I thought I'd share my own. However, my brother, who is heavily involved in this story, is also a member of the SWAF Nation and hates it when I tell this story to his friends, let alone the entire SWAF Nation. So please keep this
tell
as a vacant
name.
Story. I'm not going to say
tell
it.
Us his
say,
name.
I'm not going to say their name.
Tell us the name.
Nicky knows a secret.
Lukey knows a secret.
Do you know the old tagline of please don't try this at home? Well, growing up, my brother and I always ignored that and used to have wrestling matches in our backyard on a daily basis. However, as I am much younger and smaller than him, I would lose all of these matches due to having moves like the Batista Bomb, the FU, the Walls of Jericho, and the F5 done to me." The FU, I think you'll find, it's the AA.
Mm.
Well, obviously, it's a little bit back in the day. "One day in 2008, during one of our regular backyard matches, my brother attempted a standing dropkick on me, missed, and then landed in a bindi patch. Now, that's something that I'm not familiar with. However, thankfully, Vakin clarifies, any Aussie will know this is basically like landing in a pile of Mother Nature's thumbtacks."
Oh,
from a standing dropkick as well, which does not sound
But surely
fun.
He was already standing in the patch.
Yeah, but with shoes. Then you're like landing on your side and your back and your exposed hands and...
Look out. Like, look where you're standing.
Unless, of course, there was like Jimmy Havoc and they like took off the wrestling boots and then you stand on it. Anyway, he was on his hands and knees and in the perfect position for my, allegedly, favourite wrestler's finisher at the time, the Orton Punt. My brother ended up with an orbital fracture and a broken cheekbone, and I ended up with my first and final victory. As you can probably guess, we were both forced to retire after this scenario. I was grounded until my brother recovered from his injuries, which were about 8 months, and we've never slammed again. Thanks again for the consistent work on the podcast from Vacant.
Whoa, that is brutal.
considering
they stopped Rollins doing the stomp for a while because kids kept doing that into the pavement.
Oh, mate.
Like, to just be like, oh, the punt's fine, though.
Yeah. Oh, dearie me. That is
brutal.
That's a brutal story.
The worst I ever did was broke my bed.
Yeah. <You know?
laughs> I power bombed my pillows onto my bed and broke off quite a few of the slats, and had to like lift up the duvet and the mattress and turn them all around so my dad didn't find out.
I think the worst I ever had was I broke a couple of like ornaments within a house just by being idiots, basically. You're putting your feet through things. But we're going to jump into the NXT review of this show now. We're going to be talking about Aleister Black's return to NXT and what that might mean for the future of the Black and Yellow brand. Here's the show. Over the last few weeks, months, you could even say, Aleister Black has not been seen on television. He was mysteriously attacked outside of Full Sail University as a way to get him out of the main event of NXT Brooklyn 4 because he'd suffered an injury at the hands of Tommaso Ciampa on an NXT house show. And so he was written out the storylines. And the way they did this was that he had a mysterious attacker. And since then, there's been this storyline that William Regal has been investigating. He's been inquiring amongst all the NXT wrestlers who attacked Aleister Black. Who
fundamentally been unhelpful.
Oh, they've been so unhelpful.
Wasn't me. It's probably him.
Probably him. It was him.
Yep, and that other person goes, weren't me. Probably him. Oh, I'm just going around in circles. Who ran over Aleister Black has been the question. And Nikki Cross has been the only person who says, I know. I know who attacked Aleister Black, but she's not telling anyone. Nikki knows a secret, and she's not telling. However, very unhelpful, particularly for poor old William Regal, who's trying to solve a bloody mystery.
Poor Regal. Like, he's just sat there just trying to do his job, and everyone's being fundamentally
like, if Jonathan Creek was trying to like solve a murder, which he often does, and one person kept saying, like, oh, I know the answer. Yeah, I know exactly how this happened.
It's like Poirot, but if Poirot never did the bit at the end where he goes, it was you.
No, that's even better. Yeah, because in my scenario, it was someone who was teasing Jonathan Creek. But in this scenario, and I like your one better, Jonathan Creek knows the answer, he's just not telling anyone.
Yeah, exactly. You'll have to find it out through magic or something.
It's probably like water or something to make the body flip, lift up these stairs. It's a nice obscure Jonathan Creek reference. But anyway, the main event of this show was Nikki Cross versus Bianca Belair in a match that I didn't think was all that much until the end, which it got really good by the end of it. But at the end of it, the end of the match rather, the finish, there was no finish to it. Lights went out. The start of Aleister Black's music played. I like that. It was just a...
People didn't seem to react to that like I thought they would. Like, there wasn't much sound from like the audience going like... It's like, you know what his theme sounds like, right?
Yeah.
That's definitely Aleister Black's theme.
I wonder if it's because they were so into this match, particularly by the end of it. They were really, really into it. And it was like, it kind of sucked that it didn't have a finish, particularly because like the other double main event that they had of War Raiders versus didn't have a finish. But at the end of it, anyway, Aleister Black is sitting in the ring when the lights come back up. Bianca Belair is Thanos into nowhere. Don't know what's happened to her. She doesn't feel very good, Mr. Stark. And Nikki starts laughing, and this was a really, really great performance from Nikki. She was kind of laughing, and then she started rolling around in the ring, and then Aleister Black just holds up her hands, like, stop. It's like Pa Kent in Man of Steel holds up her hand, and then slowly turns around and beckons her to come towards him, and then she whispers in his ear, presumably the secret that she has.
Well, he says really, but really crossly, and quite like really quiet, so like the audience are going shh. At this point, which I thought was brilliant.
So good.
And he just goes, tell me,
tell me. And Nikki Cross tells him, presumably, the secret. And then he gets enraged. He gets TO'd, as some people might say. He was mightily annoyed when he heard the name that presumably she whispered to him. And that was the end of the show. He just sort of stood up. He was just like, I'm so Nikki Cross right now.
And he got my balls in a twist.
He stood up.
Not anymore. No. Fine, that's what he went away for.
And that's how the show went off. But I thought it was a really cool return.
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was a fun way to do it as well, because it's kind of like teasing the whole Nikki knows, but then having him come back in kind of a, like, you don't tend to equate beyond the sort of Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae stuff. You don't tend to equate the women's roster and the male roster as if like they might interact. I don't know, like, beyond mixed match challenge, I guess, in like the main roster stuff, but they've always kind of been separate entities. So this is a nice way to have it sort of still feel like the NXT universe exists.
Yes.
As its own kind of like functioning thing.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. We've said this before on this show, and Ollie and I have talked about as well, about kind of creating the backstage environment to feel like a cohesive world, as opposed to being, you are over here and you lot are over here and you shall never meet ever. And I thought it was really cool, because it was like, it was the Nikki Cross and Aleister Black. It was almost like the first time they've ever really been on screen together. Mm. And it really did. I thought it made it a very nice MCU style world. Mm. It's like, you know, the first time you say you saw a when Tony Stark walked in at the end of The Incredible Hulk, and you were like, yes. Oh my god. Yeah. It's Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man's in an Incredible Hulk movie.
And the good thing is Aleister Black seems to have some sort of power to make Nikki calm down. Yeah. Calm the F down, Nikki. Jeez.
Now, the TV tapings for the weeks leading up to TakeOver TakeOver War Games have been filmed. Mm-hmm. And I believe, I don't read NXT spoilers. You've seen some spoilers. Did they reveal the name?
I haven't seen that bit yet. I've only seen one singular post that is about the War Games match.
Yes, so that's kind of coming, which we'll try and skirt around, because I have also unfortunately seen that. But I did see someone say, it was on our Discord chat, that the name of who attacked him has been revealed. Ooh. But I've not seen that yet. So, I mean, if you have...
It's Tony Nese.
Bloody Tony Nese. I knew it would
Tony!
Be. It was all of his abs. They all like ganged up on him. They surrounded him.
He didn't actually attack him. Aleister Black walked into him, was absorbed by the abs. And on the way out, he'd been crushed.
Yeah, he abtacked him. And so the question is, who ran over Aleister Black? The main theory, I believe, that a lot of people are going with, and I'm almost in agreement with this, is going to reveal to be Johnny Gargano. And he'll be the one who attacked Black outside.
But because he wanted to take Ciampa for himself.
Yes, and that's kind of why... Because Black's reaction to this was, like, really enraged. Mm. So this is clearly someone that he has got either a connection to or has had dealings with in the past somewhere. Because if Nikki Cross rolled up to him and was like, it was Otis Dozovich, his reaction would probably be, huh? Oh, really?
Yeah.
It
was Tino Sabatelli.
He was like, oh, that's genuinely surprising.
Who?
Yeah.
Who is Tino Sabatelli?
But his reaction was more akin to just like, I bloody knew it. And that bloke's such a dick. I knew he would do something like
this. And then this could be like a, you know, and if it is Gargano, it could be a Gargano heel turn at this point. Like, you know, maybe he's been heel this whole time and we just didn't know.
We couldn't see the woods for the trees.
Yeah. Or Black comes back as a heel and starts just black massing everyone.
Yeah. Oh, I would say it was Aleister Black that ran himself over.
No. I'm just saying that maybe his injuries have turned him a bit. You know, he's gone off the rails a bit. I wouldn't mind him just walking around and super kicking people in the head. Like, just not even having matches anymore, but just as people walk out, he just...
Black mask.
And down they go.
Off you go. But let's talk about the match itself. Or maybe we'll save that for the main review.
Yeah,
let's save that for the main review. But I thought this was a really, really cool return for Aleister Black. I think it's been a really fun story. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's been going on for much longer than it actually has. But that's a good thing. I'm saying that as kind of like praise for it. And... Someone said this on the Discord, and it's something that I really agree with. It's one of the few storylines in WWE as a whole that have got fans guessing and kind of talking about and being like, what is this? What's going on? What could happen? Could it be this person? Could it be that person? Whereas at the moment, like the main roster storylines are very much just, here are matches. These people do not like these people. This bloke's trying to get into this other lad's house. Off they pop.
Yes, yeah.
Whereas here, it's just like, it's all kind of like theory and stuff. And I've been really enjoying that.
The only thing I haven't enjoyed about it, and it's not really a criticism, it's just, it's the fact that they kept talking about Black like he was dead. And it was like, who attacked Aleister Black? And it's like, I know he's injured from this, like, from the in the storyline, he's injured from this attack. Bobby Fish has been going into work. Like, Bobby Fish keeps... He's injured. He keeps turning up.
Said to hold the awards.
Even more in this episode. But, like, yeah. Like, why haven't we seen him in hospital or anything? Like, he literally has disappeared from all television in any way, shape, or form, or capacity. So it just feels like they're talking about someone who's dead.
I kind of...
And which, obviously,
that,
it makes sense from the perspective of that's why his reveal, his coming back, is much bigger. Because we haven't seen him at all. But... It's just funny to have this, like, murder mystery where it actually feels like he's been murdered.
A bit like the end of the reveal of Cluedo would be that the murder victim just stood up and was like, nope, I'm fine.
Yeah, actually, I... Yes,
or, cool. It was me all along!
It was me again on me! And I am the evil one. Dick, dick, diggity, dick, diggity, dog.
Freaking dick. Wrestle Ramble is taking over the Prince Charles Cinema on November 13th, 2018 for a live podcast recording, along with a special screening of one of the greatest wrestling documentaries of all time, Beyond the Mat.
Since you are able to regurgitate, you know, on command, It just seems to me that it's pretty logical that you should be puke.
Ollie El Fakador and myself will be in attendance to watch the film and meet everyone who comes along, as well as record a live episode of the podcast with your Q's and our A's.
You make it sound like you don't even want to live.
There's times I know.
But this won't just be any old screening of Beyond the Mat, no, no, no. This will be a wrestler-long screening. We want to create the atmosphere of a wrestling show inside the cinema screen. That means that we want you to bring your signs, bring your costumes, and bring your chants.
He's got a puke! He's got a puke!
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we can't wait to meet you all there. That's November 13th at the Prince Charles Cinema in London. Wrestler-long screening of Beyond the Mat, along with a live podcast record of Wrestle Ramble. Tickets are available now from PrinceCharlesCinema.com, but they are going fast.
Gave up Wall Street for. Wall Street wasn't fun. Wrestling is fun.
That's PrinceCharlesCinema.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
So NXT kicked off this week with that advertisement of their double main event. They've got the War Raiders versus Undisputed Era for the Tag Team Championships and Nikki Cross versus Bianca Belair. And they were really hyping this up as like this big time double main event. And that kicked off right away with War Raiders versus the Undisputed Era for those NXT Tag Team Championships.
Wow.
In a match that was it was a standard tag match, a standard WWE tag match for quite a while. In which, you know, the babyface team run wild, then they get cut off, and then they work over one of them, or the heels work them over, and then the babyfaces get the hot tag and they run wild. But by the end of it, I thought this turned into a really terrific match. I think once they sort of got out of the standard formula, it was really, really good.
I think even in the standard formula, I think the Undisputed Era, Kyle O'Reilly specifically, is so good.
Amazing.
He's so good at that sort of like, we're just working over one joint here.
Systematically like, going to destroy something.
Obviously, that's what made that the match against Mustache Mountain so good. A couple of months ago, was it?
Yeah.
That was amazing. Like, I think them and the Revival, Undisputed Era and Revival, are masters of that kind of classic tag team thing. And then they both of them are able to then progress from that into, they just use it as build.
Yes.
And that's what's so good about it. It's not like, that's not the whole match. Other WWE matches, I think, much more rely on that as like you get the hot tag and then it's over after the hot tag usually.
But yeah,
they managed to make it into this much longer story. This is only part of the spectrum of the whole match, and I think they use it to obviously slowly build hype, and then you get this hot tag and Hansen comes in,
yeah,
and just does insane stuff for a man of his size.
Oh, man, it was absolutely awesome. I was in love with this match right from the get-go anyway, because obviously Kyle O'Reilly gets to play his air guitar, so that means the match is instantly 5 stars regardless. But Roderick Strong...
Play the sweet, sweet music, Kyle.
And Roderick Strong comes down, because the War Raiders do the war, yeah, like with the devil horns throwing up. Roderick Strong comes down, he starts going...
I love heel Roderick Strong. He's so good.
The face that he pulls with...
He's got such a good... He's such a good expressive face for being a heel. Yeah. Like, he was so bad as a baby face, and I think just because I didn't really like buy into him because he's too kind of cheesy, and the character they gave him was very like twee.
Mm.
Now, as just like a really, I don't know, smug, horrible heel. He has got the perfect face for that. And that's so good at expressions.
I would agree with that. I mean, I was into Roderick Strong as a babyface because I thought what they did with him when they did those sort of video packages for him that really, like, you know, broke into like his real life story and his real life tragedy. It was at that point I was almost like, you can never turn this man heel. Like, you can, like, this story is too good. You can never turn this man heel. And then when they did, that almost made the heel turn all the more shocking.
Oh, that was great.
But now when you look at him, when he comes out and he just acts like such a dick, you're like, God, I'd hate you.
Yeah, I can't necessarily imagine him going back to being a face. No, now. Exactly. Like, you never stay heel forever.
You can never turn him babyface ever again. But he was really good in this match as well. I think a really good like Olympic slam for a near fall. They called it Olympic slam.
They had
slam
some
as well,
amazing.
Yeah.
They just had some amazing moves. I think the four guys have great chemistry, clearly, and like the whole thing kind of works. And I love the idea that like the War Raiders come down and they've been attacking the Undisputed Era and they've been proving their strength the whole time. And so the Undisputed Era are naturally wary. There was a great moment where, I can't remember if it's Hanson or Rowe, but he was beating on Kyle O'Reilly and Roddy runs in from behind to try and get an attack and he just turns around and Roddy goes, and like falls over. Like, I love that whole thing. And then when they get the cheap shot and they suddenly get in control and then they start working over the limb. Oh, it just works so perfectly.
And I think what they worked really well in this match was that when when War Raiders were kind of on top and they were like, you know, running wild at the start, Undisputed Era never looked incompetent. They never looked like, we're just being bumbling fools that have been beaten up. And at the same time, when the Undisputed Era were working over, I believe it was Hanson they were working over, over for most of the match.
The smaller one.
Yeah.
Which isn't saying much.
War Raiders never looked like they were rubbish either.
No.
Like, it's just because Undisputed Era looked so good that it didn't make them look weak. It didn't make them look bad. Mm. So I thought it worked really well. And that then ties into when the War Raiders make their comeback and start running wild again. I thought it just worked really well. Adam Cole came down, he got into the ring, just decked him and just like, you get out of here.
Well, mate. I love the catching his hand. Yeah. I thought that was such a good moment. Like the obvious, like, I'm going for the disqualification here.
Yeah.
Throws out a punch and he catches his hand. He's like, and it knocks him and then throws him out.
And it works so perfectly as well because, we were probably all expecting an Adam Cole run-in. So they give you that Adam Cole run-in because then that's almost like that's the red herring to distract you away from the real run-in and the real DQ, which is when Bobby Fish came down without his crutches, running into the ring.
With a knee brace and a chair.
Hitting people with a chair. Bobby Fish cleared to wrestle. And it was great. And it was a massive pop from the crowd. Really happy to see Bobby back because it's been, you know, over a year, I think, since he's last had a match in NXT. So it was really, really cool to see.
I love the viciousness as well.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
It just reminds you of how great Bobby Fish really was. Mm. And it was just, and then Undisputed Era, like, they hit Total Elimination on Rowe and they kind of left them laying. And they stood tall, all four of them standing there doing the pose, you know, the thing. And just a little badass, man. And it was like, it's now, I really like the Undisputed Era anyway. Like, I've loved them since day one. I thought this is a really cool faction when it was Cole, O'Reilly, and Fish. I was like, what an awesome faction. Then Bobby Fish sadly got injured, and Roderick Strong came and you were like, oh man, there's still a really cool faction with these three over here and Bobby Fish sort of over here.
Holding a little trophy.
Holding a miniature version of the Dusty Classic. So that was really cool. It was like those three and Bobby on the side. Now all four of them are cleared to wrestle. It's like a new era for the Undisputed Era. This is like Undisputed Era 3.0. Like, and so I'm really, really excited for this new iteration of the team. Really fascinating.
I just hope it stays around. And I've said before, and I've said it again, this could be WWE's Bullet Club if they want it to be. And it could be multi-brand. It could have multiple members. People could come in and come out. But it could always be a thing. It doesn't have to be one of these ones that gets dropped. Could be like what the Nexus could have been if they hadn't have fed it to Cena back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me started on the Nexus. Good Lord. So I thought it was a really, really decent match. We then got Britt Baker versus Shayna Baszler. A nice little sort of exhibition match for Shayna Baszler ahead of her Evolution match against Kairi Sane.
When Britt Baker came out, I was like, "Oh, yeah. Nice to see Britt Baker." And then I was like, "Shame she's going to get fed to Shayna Baszler."
Because they advertised, like, they had the graphic up saying, like, "Shayna Baszler in action next." And I'm like, instantly, I'm like, awesome. Because yes. I love Shayna Baszler and she's great. And then poor old Britt Baker came out and I had the exact thing. I was like, "Oh, Britt. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, poor Britt."
It's like, "Oh, so nice she's here." And, like, on the same night, Adam Cole's here. Brilliant. Lovely for them. And then, yeah. Baszler comes out and smashes up her arm.
I was going to say, you
absolutely
are in trouble,
smashes
mate.
Up her arm.
Yeah, so if you're not aware, because you didn't watch Laurie's amazing video on this, Britt Baker and Adam Cole, IRL, real life couple. And this was very much just Baszler dismantling Britt right from the start of this. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this as well. Is Britt Baker the second person who appeared at All In to appear on a WWE show now? Because Ray obviously is now, he had his match on SmackDown this week.
Yes.
Or Tuesday night. So is Britt Baker now the second person? I was trying to think if there's anyone else who was on that show that's also had a WWE appearance.
Oh.
I can't think, if you know.
And then there's rumours that Chelsea Green's also signed and is at the Performance Centre.
Yes, because she's had tryouts before.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah, so.
But if anyone in the comment section can think of anyone else, let us know, because I think that would be quite an interesting topic.
They probably just wrote their shopping list as it was happening, just sitting there just going, that one, yep.
And them. Yeah, and I'll have one of them. Oh, a Lucha Brother, I'll have one of them.
Yeah,
yes, please.
Just one. Just one single Lucha Brother, thank you.
Oh, that's a tough call. If you could only pick one of them.
I would have Pentagon.
I mean,
he's just had, like, and that's the thing, is like, he overshadows Phoenix only because he's had such amazing matches with such amazing opponents, I think. But Phoenix is, the stuff he can do is unbelievable.
And I think that's why, I mean, we're going well off topic here, but I think I would almost go for Phoenix, because I'm thinking, like, from a business side of thing, how marketable is Phoenix? You put him in the ring, you get him to do his big flippity-do nonsense, and all of a sudden the kids would be like, "I'll have a mask, please." Basically,
well, true,
what you could have
done.
You
do the same with Pentagon, though. If you get them both, just get them both, put them on 205.
Pentagon's
suddenly,
so scary, though.
Yeah, he is,
like,
scary.
Kids going up to Pentagon, Pentagon be like, "Buy my mask, oh God." Where Phoenix is like, "Hey guys, I'm Ray." Yeah. And, like, he seems much more nicer. It basically is what they could have done with Kalisto, but they decided not to, because Lucha House Party or whatever it is, or any of the Lucha House Party, which might still be the worst tag team name in WWE. That is, for me, Lucha House Party is so much worse than Boss and Hug Connection.
Really?
I think it's worse than the Besties. While those are disgustingly bad, Lucha House Party is just aggressively horrible.
It's actually the Lucha Sorry Party. It's just like, here you go, guys. Like,
yeah,
we don't have anything for you to do, and we don't really have triple tag titles on Cruiserweight Division.
Yeah.
But we keep having triple tag matches. Yeah. So you're a faction now because you're all from Mexico.
Yeah. House Party.
End of.
So anyway, Shayna Baszler was systematically destroying Baker's arm, and then she does the arm break spot and they call for the bell. It was really, really great. I thought Baker's selling of the arm was really awesome.
Yeah, it was
like,
really good.
Like, screaming in agony and pain. And then as she stands up, like, she gets to one knee, Baszler comes up, step up Shining Wizard right to her face, lays her out. Baszler is the best.
And she just walks out, yeah.
That
amazing.
Is an awesome finisher as well. Like, she's got, like, you know, the
Kirafuda clutch.
The Bada Bada clutch. And then, like, that's all really awesome in that. And, you know, the arm break thing. But having that step up Shining Wizard was like another wrinkle to your arsenal. I think that's a wicked, wicked addition.
Baszler
is
so good.
Amazing. She has got.
She's so good. I've started using her music in WWE 2K19. Because I was like, you can't play as a woman in the career mode. So I was like, I'll never meet Shayna Baszler. This is perfect. I'll steal her music.
We've got a hype package for Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, who are going to be in action next. But before we get to that, William Regal is being interviewed off screen. And, you know, that voice off screen, "Mr. Regal, what do you think about this?" And he said Regal's asked about Nikki Cross, and he says that Black is going to be back soon. And once Cross has had her match with Bianca Belair, he's going to get some answers out of Nikki Cross. However,
good luck, Regal.
Black got there first, and he actually did get the answers, which William Regal has been unable to do. "I've been bloody asking this woman, can you tell me who it was that attacked her?"
Crying out loud, Nikki. "Just tell me. I just need to know before Black comes back. Otherwise, we're going to get in trouble." Oh my God.
And then we got tag team match, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch versus Tian Bing and Rocky. My first note would be for Rocky, you need a new name, because there's no way in hell you're getting onto the main roster with that name.
Like, no.
Why would you give yourself a name that instantly makes you think of Rocky Maivia, The Rock, or the boxer Sylvester Stallone, Rocky Balboa? Like,
and when there's Becky Balboa.
Yeah, exactly.
And The Rock. You need,
Yeah,
that, the problem is also they're just going to go, well, you're going to have a Chinese name, aren't you? Like, that's the...
Yeah, possibly. But anyway, so Tian Bing, it was he's one of their big Chinese signings. He was in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal a couple of years ago. So he's like kind of like one of their big hot prospects, you know, to try and like appeal to that market over there. Kind of the way that Jinder Mahal was there. Yeah. But apart from...
And John Cena's hair.
Yeah, difference is that Tian Bing's actually reportedly very good. I've not seen like a full... match with Tian Bing.
He chucks out a roundhouse in this that looks sick.
Yeah, it was
really wide.
Absolutely, yeah. Although, I loved this. They have got proper Street Fighter entrance music.
Mm.
Like, it's...
I've actually written cool musics in my name. Cool musics?
It is.
I was like, that's fine.
It proper sounds like a level in Street Fighter. Like, that would be his level theme. Like, in the 16-bit days.
I wanted to be called Bing the Merciless.
Bing gets a really good showing in this, but he tags in Rocky, and that leads to Butch getting tagged in. It was a very short squash match, really. It was like a showcase match, I should say, for Butch and Lorcan. And they hit their sort of spike DDT for the win, and it was fine. You know, it was absolutely fine.
Yeah, I like the fact that Butch and Lorcan have new trunks.
Yeah.
They actually get to have, like, someone's actually made them something finally, like, because they were just wearing the black for ages, both of them separately initially, which was just like, you are wearing jobber gear. Like, if anyone was wearing jobber gear, it's you two. And then they got matching jackets, first of all.
Yeah.
But now they've got matching trunks and kick pads and stuff, but in different colors. So they actually look like they're being pushed as a proper team now, which is fine, because for how long were we watching only Lorcan matches? I was like watching only Lorcan matches and I was going, this guy is amazing. Why is he not getting any push? And it's like,
so quite famously on the channel, Ollie doesn't really watch NXT. When he gets a free moment, he tries to watch bits and pieces, but he's such a busy man doing business to make sure this channel runs effectively that he can't watch NXT, which is why we do these reviews. But when it was that Birch and Lorcan series of matches, I kept saying to him, like, you've got to watch these matches. God, they're good. Because it is just two dudes knocking the ever-loving crap out of each other, and it was terrific.
Yeah.
And their match they had at TakeOver earlier this year against the Undisputed Era was perfect. So good. William Regal announces they make an announcement that he's going to reveal the NXT Championship match for TakeOver War Games 2018. So we'll find out what that is next week. If you've read the spoilers, you probably already know. And finally, in the main event, we got the second half of this double main event between Bianca Belair and Nikola Cross, and the crowd were absolutely rabid for this match. Mm-hmm. Like, they were really into when Bianca Belair comes out, because she is a star. She just carries star presence about it. She's so good, and she's undefeated. And then Nikki Cross, once Cross came out and people hear that music, it was so good. Brian Zane of Wrestling With Regret put up an amazing tweet earlier today saying, like, are there still people that really wish Nikki Cross got called up with the rest of Sanity?
Yeah.
Because she's...
Swallowed by SmackDown.
Yeah, because, like, what have Sanity done since going to the main roster? Absolutely sweet FA. So it's actually been really good for Nikki to be, like, kind of separate herself away from Sanity and have this, like, awesome series and stuff down
the
there.
The thing is, now, if she went up to the main roster and joined Sanity, she might be the thing they need. Like, she might be the sudden injection of star power that makes them a really big deal.
Quite, yeah. Or she just gets swallowed up by that Sanity black hole of nothingness, and just like, and she ends up doing Nouse on the main roster, which would be the worst thing.
The you're too similar to the Bludgeon Brothers curse. You're way too similar to the Bludgeon Brothers.
So. I put them on the same brand then.
Yeah.
Like, you could have seen this coming quite easily. Anyway, so the crowd were really rabid for this match. And as I said, like, I didn't think it was particularly great in these sort of early goings. Mm. But as it got to the end, like, it really, really picked up. And I think they built up some really nice steam, like, to build to this, like, hot finish, where we unfortunately didn't get a finish. And there was, like, I would also say as well that Bianca Belair might have my favourite standing moonsault. Like, it's so good. It's crisp as anything.
Yeah, that spot, though, where she does the handspring over and then does the moonsault. Yeah.
I think, like, the actual standing moonsault itself is so good. Like, usually when you see people do it, you kind of, like, feel the kick of their legs to pull themselves over. Bianca Belair just goes, blurp, and just, it's
effortless. She used to do gymnastics, right?
Yeah.
So she used to do, like, every sport under the sun, apparently, according to that video package I did on NXT. She used to sprint and...
Yeah.
Do various other things.
They essentially, like, her challenge was, like, I'm just going to be the best at everything.
Yeah.
And now I am the best at everything. So I'm a big, big fan of Bianca Belair. And she's also
gorilla
got
press squats. Amazing.
Yeah, the third squat, not so like it was very much. I'm doing three of these, but I don't really want to do this third one because it's quite actually. Oh, this is quite heavy. But yeah, she presses her out of the corner. It was really, really awesome. Like does this, and then she hits this giant sit out powerbomb. Nikki still kicks out of that, and this crowd are really, really picking up into this. And she starts
the powerbomb is off a pin, isn't it?
Oh, it was amazing stuff. And then Nikki gets a reverse DDT for a near fall. She dives off the top rope, but Bianca Belair whips her with the rope. Still seeing people calling that a foreign object. It's her hair. Like,
well, it depends on what it depends on what she's tied the end of it with. Like, if she had a little decoration.
Yeah, if it was a knife, then I could understand what you're saying, but it's not.
That's the opposite of tying your hair, Luke, putting a knife in it.
Like, yeah, if she had a steel chair on the end of her head, then I'd understand, but it's like, it's just her hair.
I like that.
Like saying, if your arm's a foreign object.
I wouldn't mind hardcore Bianca Belair with, like, various objects attached to her hair that she just whips around.
Yeah, she whips her hair back and forth. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, like, I would...
In a tornado of knives.
Tornado of... I mean, perhaps that would be better than her covering herself in glitter, because that gets everywhere.
Yeah.
It was all over
the
ring.
That's why this was the last match.
It was the glitteriest ring I've ever seen in my life.
Aleister Black was lucky to not be covered in glitter for his big moment where he was really cross. His face was just gold.
Yeah, no, he just got backstage. He was like, I'm covered in glitter. This is awful.
That was more Sean Connery.
It was more
than
Sean Connery.
Black.
Yeah, then I was trying to go for the. I didn't want to do
I went out
gold member.
And then I got covered in glitter.
And I got attacked. I got run over. I didn't want to do.
I was completely attacked.
I just didn't want to do. I love gold. I didn't want to do that version of the voice. But anyway,
and that's a keeper.
Anyway, so there was kind of like some good near falls and stuff here. Then we get a superplex by Nikki Cross, and that's when the lights go out. Black is back all in. We're going to win. Check it out. Yeah, yo, come on. Here we go again. That's the end of the show with the Aleister Black stuff that we talked about at the start of this when he's very, very annoyed. Overall, I thought this was a very good show. It was kind of a shame that both the big main events matches that they teased didn't have finishes.
Yes.
It's kind of like my bit of a gripe I've got with NXT at the moment. It's kind of they don't want to pin anyone unless it's a squash match. Mm. So sometimes it just really feels that it's a not... Like, no one really gets anything. It's just we have these amazing matches that sometimes just don't have finishes. We saw it in the Ricochet-Pete Dunne match a couple of weeks ago. And with both of them here, neither of them having finishes, a bit deflating a little bit.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's because it's obviously because they're building up to pay-per-views that are much further apart than the regular main roster stuff. And also they're working with a smaller pool of people. So it's going to be the same matches anyway. Mm-hmm. There's only so many Cassius Onos in the world that you can be like, we can just beat up Cassius. It's fine. We'll get Bing out. Bing will go down.
He can take a beating.
But like, I think that just means like to build these feuds. They have to go on for so long as well. Like, you know, it's been a couple of months, this War Raiders Undisputed Era thing, and they've kept them apart for ages. This is the sort of first time they've met in the ring properly to build to, you're assuming, a match at War Games of some description. But yeah, that's still a while away as far as we know.
Absolutely, so, yeah, we're at the end of November.
Yeah, exactly. So
I thought it was a really, really good show. I'd have given it a 4 out of 5. Mm. I reckon if we were scoring things. And we've had a few people ask us if we're going to talk about NXT UK, because that debuted last night as well. You haven't seen the show
yet? I've
not
seen it yet.
I've seen most of it. I haven't seen the main event yet. But I would say that it is fine. It wasn't much of a show. You had Joe Coffey beating Mark Andrews in the opening match, which was all right, and Flash Morgan Webster came down to make the save. Good video package for Eddie Dennis, Mustache Mountain cutting a promo about the NXT Tag Team Championships, and then two enhancement matches for Dave Mastiff and Tony Storm, and then the main event of Pete Dunne and Noam Dar, which I've been told is good, so I'm going to watch that later on today. But I would say that I've been thinking about it a lot on the way into work, kind of like why I didn't think this was a particularly great show. And it really felt like that WWE or NXT wanted to launch this brand, which we saw when they did the NXT Championship tournament thing at the Royal Albert Hall earlier this year, and Triple H and Johnny Saint came down to announce the NXT UK brand. They clearly had bigger plans than that announcement. What they wanted to do was that announcement, and here is where it's going to air on TV.
Yes.
But that never happened. And so, I mean, we've heard, you know, rumblings that they were doing things with BT Sport. They were trying to get involved with them, but Sky shut that down because they've already got a partnership with them. I don't think Sky were interested in having it. They were trying to get in with ITV, but ITV had their own WOS wrestling brand that they were more interested in doing. So It felt like Triple H wanted to get this onto a British channel, so it was only a UK show.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, they also had to tape some TV. They had to announce TV tapings for this product in case they did get a TV deal. And these TV tapings, from what I've read and what I've been told and what we've seen here, almost feel like placeholder episodes.
Yes.
We announced TV tapings, so we've got to do them, but we're not really going to do anything with these TV tapings until we can get a deal.
Well, or, exactly. You can't go crazy on characters now because people, if you start doing a deal and there's already 6 months worth of backstory, you know, say 6 months down the line they get a TV deal, people are going to be like, so why did Dave Mastiff run that man over that thing, or, you know, whatever.
So they have done certain things, like they've crowned an NXT UK Women's Champion. I won't give them any spoilers here because I think that's going to air in a couple of weeks. But I think that as a product, this will get interesting and it will be really good TV once they're out of this period. Once they're out of these TV tapings that they've done, like the new ones they've done at Plymouth over the last couple of nights this week. That might be sort of like the new era of NXT UK when you want to watch that, because that's when they know this is a weekly product. It's going to be airing on the WWE Network at this time. So now we can start doing storylines and things like that, because we know we're going to be doing this on a weekly basis.
Yeah, exactly.
As such, what we've got at the moment is like a good few months of TV tapings that aren't really leading to anything. So they'll probably be good.
Hopefully just good matches. Yeah,
yeah, they'll be good matches, but there won't be anything groundbreaking as of yet. But
less
I do
of that natter. Bit more matches.
But I do think that we're going to get to a point, once they've got out of this initial TV tapings that they did in July and start the TV tapings that they've done now, that's when it's going to become a really interesting product to keep an eye on. So that's kind of like my take on NXT UK at the moment. But I'm going to watch that main event today, because apparently it's quite good. We've got this in from Nate Simpson. Hi, Luke. I love all the content you have on your channel. I have no complaints across the board, but, when this sounds like a complaint, I think you guys should do more storylines. I love the stuff you did with El Fakedor, and even Ollie's jacket was one of the best parts of the show. I also love the stuff you did with Cultaholic. I think you guys mixed well, and since then, you're my two favorite channels, Cultaholic being second. So I just want to suggest more storylines, because I think a lot of your viewers really like them. Thanks for all the stuff you do. I watch all the time. Well, thank you very much, Nate. However, you might be alone in that one, because when we did do storyline things, we got a lot of messages with people going like, why are you doing storylines? Just read the news.
What storylines were we doing? This was my life.
I mean, in fact, we sometimes get messages from people who are like, why do you do jokes? Just read the news.
Some people on YouTube, though, aren't they? Just, you know, they just want
to complain for the sake of complaining.
Yes, and I think there's also the idea that people have, like, it's the idea that I think PR companies and various other people have latched onto. All these SEO specialists are like, people will only want, people's attention spans only 1 minute long. It's like, yeah, and God forbid you put a bit of humor in there, or you talk about beer or something. My God. But like, it can't be true for like everyone, can it? Like, I watch 40 minute videos. I watch Critical Role most weeks, and that's 4 hours long.
Yeah.
And I don't lose interest because the content is engaging and I want to hear the story. So surely, if storylines are engaging and people want to watch them, they'll come back to watch them. That's always been true of stories. And I think, you know, just saying that YouTube should just be a blast of fact at you as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Because we also get, why is the video over 5 minutes long? It's like, oh, well, I don't know. If you want to find out the news in the quickest time possible, read it yourself.
Yeah, or click a short video.
Find it and read it yourself.
Yeah.
Or alternatively, come to us and have us comment on the news, make silly jokes, do stupid storylines, and hopefully that's what everyone likes about this.
Yeah.
I would hope, anyway.
I would hope so, anyway.
Otherwise, we'll just get one of those Stephen Hawking machines to read it out. That'd be fine.
Like a speaking spell.
Yeah.
We have talked about, like, if we are going to do more storylines and things like that. The problem is, I think that we often come up with ideas but never have a finish in mind.
No.
And we'll just be like, oh, this will be really funny. And then we're like, oh, now we need to end it and I don't know how. If you want more on that, I would
case in point, the hair.
I'll just put it under my hat. And if you want a good example of that, I would recommend the WrestleTalk magazine, the issue 6. Ollie went in, he did an article about the plans we had for that WrestleTalk versus Cultaholic storyline and where it sort of went in and out of, or this will be the plan, or now we'll actually do this. because we haven't actually thought of anything else to do. Oh, we thought this would be really good. Oh, actually, that's a bit rubbish. Now we need to do something else, but we need to get it done quickly. So, going out to buy that. So, I'm from wrestletalk.bigcartel.com. This from Harrison Berry. Hi, Luke and Ollie / Laurie. Wanted to write in about an incident that I was reminded of because of this segment. This is Wrestling Confessions. So, back in the day, around 2008, is another one from the same time period. So, back in the day, in around 2008, I was massively into wrestling. I was about 8 at the time, and my favorite wrestler was Jeff Hardy. I wanted nothing more than to be a wrestler. So when my parents got me and my sister to trampoline for Christmas, I knew this was the best time to start practicing for my eventual career in WWE. I got a bunch of my friends, who weren't as into wrestling, from down the road and we put together some matches. I was in the middle of a match with my friend when this happened, having a 5-star match at this point. However, if we'd have been in a Tokyo Dome, it would have got 7. That joke is so played out at this point. It's not even true. So he was on his back and I knew it was time to go to the finish. I stand up to do the Jeff Hardy gun thing with my hands and go for the Swanton Bomb. It was at this point I knew I'd effed up. In the middle of my rotation, my knee somehow hit him in the nose and I pretty much passed out in midair. I went flying over my friend, hit my back on the metal ring that makes up the trampoline, and then my face hit the ground. I then woke up, nose pouring with blood, and I thought I'd broke my back Batman style. Turns out I'd actually sustained no real injuries from this, and that was the end of my wrestling career. Sorry for the long email. P.S. I know you'll enjoy this, Luke and Ollie's. I'm going to a Weezer and Pixies concert for my birthday soon. Hopefully all they play is the Blue Album. Much love from South Carolina. I hope you enjoyed Weezer and the Pixies. That's quite a good combination. I am terrified of trampolines for that very reason. I do not like the metal structure around it.
I love trampolines.
I think trampolines are hilarious fun, but I find myself terrified on them because I have these nightmares of my feet going in between like the joints, and it makes my skin crawl.
I used to do trampolining. I used to have lessons when I was 15.
Yeah.
For quite a few years. I love it. I think it's great. Like you eventually, my teacher, his big review of my trampolining skill was that he said you've got very good spatial awareness. So I would always know where I was on the trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you've got very bad body awareness. You can't control. You can't point your toes.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control like a tuck or anything like that. But I can apparently not fall off. So well. Nailing half of it.
This from Adam Emon, a submission into Poetry Corner. I land in London, a city I've never been to. It's a business trip. I have all night. Need something to do. I could go to the Beyonce and Jay-Z concert. A picture from there worth 1,000 likes on the gram. I could explore, find a pub, a restaurant. Never been here before. Where do I start? I wander around, busy place, shuffling between people. Travellers, locals. I encounter some friends of friends setting off fireworks. I'd rather not. As I weigh my options, suddenly I remembered who's hailing from London. WrestleTalk. Still wandering around, lost, I have to give it a shot. They'll know what to do, or maybe we'll hang out. I get out my phone, file up the old Twitter machine, search Luke Owen. But I can't. Broken. Time's wasting. Beyonce's on stage. Fireworks going off. I try WrestleTalk.com. Nout. Still getting knocked around, hard to see my phone screen, looking for a place to pee. Maybe I should try WrestleTalk.tv. Boom! Fireworks! Bap! Jay-Z! Chaos all around me. Getting shuffled in the bustle, and I still have to pee. Why can't I reach WrestleTalk? And then I woke up. So that's from... that's from Adam Emond, who addressed that to Luke and Ali. So thank you very much for that email, Adam. It was a very, very nice Poetry Corner submission. Sorry we couldn't meet you while you were over in London. Or if you weren't in London... In your dream world.
In your fantasy dream world.
It's always frustrating when you're having a dream and nothing works.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. This from Buttered Toes. We like to end off our podcast with some WrestleTalk Get Betters. If you want to send any of your questions in or any of your submissions for the mailbag here on WrestleTalk and the podcast, the Wrestle Ramble, luke@wrestletalk.com. This from Buttered Toast. Hello, LOL, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie. I was inspired by all the WrestleTalk Get Better stories, and I decided it was time to get back into shape myself, as I haven't exercised regularly in nearly 6 years. I have 2 kids, and even though I'm in my mid-20s, I'd like to start living a healthier life so I can be round them for as long as I can. My wife and I are on day 7 of a whole 30-day diet. We've also started jogging, the real jogging, at the park across our street. My current short-term goal is to work up to be able to run a 5K non-stop. As always, thank you for the consistent work, your pal Buttered Toast. Thank you so much for that email.
And what am I saying?
Absolutely. Keep up at it. And I like you, I'm also trying to run a 5K without stopping, which I'm going to be trying again this coming Saturday with the park run. I probably won't.
What a dream Saturday.
Well, yeah.
Not.
Well, don't tell me about it. I've also got to do loads of housework. But you and I are going to a party in the evening, so that would be at least fun.
Yeah, have you got a mask yet?
Yeah, no, well, I was lucky because I had a mask from Secret Cinema's Moulin Rouge.
Oh, yes, you said.
So I had to buy one for that anyway.
Yeah. So for the people who are unaware, we're going to a friend's 30th birthday. And the theme is a masquerade ball. I have a mask that I bought many years ago in Venice.
Is it Abyss's mask?
No, it's not, but it's close. Like, for the purposes of not buying a new mask, mm-hmm. I might wear this mask, but it is terrifying. So my other option is I'm just going as El Fakador.
Nice. I mean, I'll be honest, I can't see the masks lasting too long anyway. Speaking to a friend of ours, the only reason he's having a masquerade ball is because he bought a mask for a masquerade ball years ago and has never used it since. And is essentially looking for an excuse to use it again.
And he likes wearing a suit as well.
He loves wearing
it. So I had a very long conversation with my girlfriend last night about this, and she was saying, just buy a mask on the internet. And I was like, look at me. Me in a mask... There is no mystery. It's a room full of people I know, and you put a mask on. Like, I feel like masks are always like masquerade balls are either Moulin Rouge style thing or like an Eyes Wide Shut.
I was going to say, weirder, I hope it's not an Eyes Wide Shut.
That kind of weirder end of the spectrum. Kind
I mean,
of
I
thing.
Like all of you, but I'm not getting into an Eyes Wide Shut situation.
But yeah, I was just saying, like, that's the situation. So, what's the point of me putting a mask on? Be like, that's definitely Laurie.
I was going to say, I think all of us have fairly identifiable things about us.
Yeah.
So, like, if I see a giant ginger beard walking towards me, I'm like, well, that's Laurie. I'm not going to go, that might be Mason. I'm not sure, though.
I might just draw a little mask on. That's...
And finally, this WrestleTalk Get Better from Barry Smith. Hi, Luke and Ollie. And I'm presuming he also means Laurie. At the time of writing, it's National Mental Health Awareness Day. I thought I'd drop you an email to say how much WrestleTalk has helped me with my depression. Having suffered for a number of years with the illness, it's been very difficult for me to stay mentally focused on day-to-day life. Thankfully, WrestleTalk entered my life, and I've been an avid podcast listener and YouTube viewer for some time. Your podcasts have made bad days bearable, and I just wanted you three to know how much I appreciate all the consistent content you produce. WrestleTalk Get Better has made me focus on my writing and help me hide the negatives and accentuate the positives in my life. Thank you for your work. Much love, Barry Smith. Well, thank you, Barry, for getting in touch with us, and thank you very much for letting us know. It really means a lot to us to get those sorts of messages.
Glad to be of service.
Absolutely. We very much are glad to be of service. But unfortunately, that is all we have got time for on this episode. Ollie and I will be back on Saturday with the magazine show and possibly Fantasy Booking Warfare. We teased this on the Wednesday episode, but Ollie's kind of like his rhetoric at the moment is that he needs a good week to ignore Fantasy Booking Warfare and then come up with an idea at the last minute. So, but then having said that, he texted me last night that was just like, I've got an idea. So it may happen this week. We don't know yet. I'm formulating some ideas in my head as well for mine. And as a tease for the Podswafters and podcast listeners, we're going to be introducing a new competitive element to Fantasy Booking Warfare. So keep an eye out for that if it does happen this Saturday or possibly next Saturday. But we definitely will have the magazine show. We'll talk about the biggest news story of the week, as well as your crap gimmicks and mailbag questions from Pledge Hammers. Thank you very much for listening. I've been Nick Cohen. We've been Laurie Blake. We'll see you on Saturday. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.